Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, we're going to talk about Jesus, the high priest of our confession. Jesus, the high priest of our confession. Saints, that is vital. Don't ever think your words mean very little. Don't ever think your words dominate your life. Your words will take you where you want to go, and they could take you where you don't want to go. You'll either activate the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or you'll activate the ministry of the evil one, the Satan. He is a ministry too, to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have a high priest, Jesus. He wants to take you to a life of more abundant. With that abundant life, he wants your life filled to the full, overflowing. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Of course, Hebrews, you have to remember, the book of Hebrews, one of the main themes is this very thing. Jesus is your high priest. It's one of the main themes, but it doesn't make sense to spend just a little bit of time looking at this. Now, we look at this, we're going to see that it's a progression. I made a confession. Well, first of all, you got to make the right confession. That's the first step. Then it goes on. Once you make the right confession, you're going to have to hold fast to that confession. Then you're going to have to hold fast again without wavering. There's a progression here. There's stages that we go through in life that a lot of times we get disappointed. We don't see the things manifest. But hold it now. Most things don't manifest right off the bat. There is a progress here. There's a progression. There's stages that we go through. Just like the sower sows the word, the parable. There's stages that we go through. You always start with the seed, right? So we start with the seed. You got to make the right confessions. Amen. So first of all, let's just read this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Get this now. Some of these words we're going to kind of go over. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So let's take us apart. He says, consider. That word consider does not mean just a glance. It does not mean, you know, a lot of times we'll have pizza on a Sunday afternoon, usually or on a Saturday. And Joanne will ask me, would you want a Coke or a Mountain Dew? So I have to consider, which one am I going to have? And I usually, sometimes it may be a couple minutes. Because these are vital. That's vital when you pick the right one. So I usually consider a Mountain Dew, but there's times I will consider a Pepsi. So what I'm trying to say is, this word is a lot stronger than what we use sometimes. Let's just read it in the Greek, some of the Greek meanings of the word consider. Consider means to fix your attention, your eyes on something with an earnest look, to learn and to understand, to observe fully. I mean, this is not, you're not taking this lightly. You're focused in, you're fixed in. In other words, you're looking into, Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So you're locked in. You're not looking at anything else. You're not leaning to anything else. You're locked in on what Jesus is doing. In this case, He's our high priest. And He's doing something for you. Now He's saying, consider what He's doing for you right now. This is not in the sweet by and by. This is right now. Come on. What is Jesus doing right now? He is not twiddling His thumbs, waiting for the rapture. He has a ministry. And he's waiting for your words so he can be an advocate for you, a mediator for you, an intercessor for you, a shepherd for you. All these things. This is a very deep subject. So, yes, it is vital. We have to make the right confession. And he goes on and he uses the word apostle. The apostle means a sent one. Jesus has been sent by God to represent or to mediate the covenant. In other words, he's going to take your words as an advocate and present your case to the throne. That's why it is vital. Just don't be saying things off the top of your mind. Choose your words correctly. The enemy will work on your mind. To get you to say. That's the whole purpose. The battleground's in the mind. The enemy wants you to start saying stuff. It's not even word-based. They're usually fear-based. Because he operates out of fear. So he works 24/7. To get you to say something that's fear-based. So that you invoke or you activate his ministry. Which we said before, is designed basically to steal. Then if he can steal, then it just goes on to kill and destroy. But Jesus, it says here, we are to consider him the apostle and high priest of our confession. So, is it important to have the right confession? Yes. Is it important when you, listen, we all have attacks. When you get under attack, the enemy attacks you, the first thing that comes out of your mouth should be the word. That's why I make a habit of confessing God's word. For instance, healing. Healing is a major thing, right? So wouldn't it be smart to confess now healing scriptures while you're doing good before you're attacked? Wouldn't it make sense to just keep that in your mouth 24/7? Meditate in those words. I always go back and touch base on the word. Healing scriptures is major. It doesn't, if I'm being attacked and the first thing comes in my mind, I go to my wife, Joanne, I'm sick. Well, we're not denying it, but that's our own confession. I'm really sick. Honey, have you noticed? I've been slowing down. Surely you noticed it. A wrong confession. That's not doing me any good. It's not helping me. I don't need to call for more sickness. I got it. You know, the Lord told Caps, I told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. Honey, have I told you again? Let me tell you again. I have this. No, I don't want to do that. That's a wrong confession. I'm broke. Well, that may be you may be. We're not denying it, but you don't want to go around saying, I'm broke. Busted and disgusted. Someone help me? Could you help me, Jordan? Someone help me. Well, that's a wrong confession. See, we're talking about right confession, a wrong confession. A right confession is, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the right confession. Now, why is that so important? Because Jesus is your high priest. At the right hand of the Father, he's waiting for your words. Because listen, he's responsible. Once you make that confession of faith, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but we'll just repeat it again. His ministry kicks in. You actually activated his ministry. Don't go by what you're saying. Don't go by what's in front of you. No, we will walk by faith. It is, I'm telling you, the enemy will, he'll throw stuff at you. Stuff in front of you to get you off the word. He is an expert at that. Don't think he's not. He is an expert at this. He's been around for thousands of years. He knows how. He knows your buttons. I have a couple buttons, I have to admit, you know. You need to drive, you know, speed limit. You know, when it's 55 and you're going 45, something's wrong. You need to be going 55. You know, if I had some way to talk to them, speed limit's 55, you're doing 45, let's go. Step it up now, come on. There's certain things that really pushes my button, but I'm better at that. You just got to relax and chill out on that stuff. But the point is, what am I saying? I don't know. You don't. In other words, that's a bad confession. If he pushes that button and I start wrong confession, it's not helping me. Not helping me a bit. So why even say it? Why say those things? Amen. So once we say the right confession, we got to keep moving on. Now, go with me. Let's move on. Let's go to the next stage. Let's go to just one more chapter, chapter 4, verse 14. So once you make the right confession, you don't stop. It says, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Here we go. Let us hold fast to our confession. Huh. This is the second time in a row, the second time immediately. There is no delay. Notice what it says. Let us hold fast. Let's go back. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. As soon as it talks about Jesus as our high priest, what's he going to? Your confession. What are you saying? It is vital. This is the second time in a row. If we're going to get to the third one, they always say third time's the charm. Is that how they say that or something like that? We're going to see. We're in a progression here. We're in a process here. Hold fast your confession. I don't care what it looks like. Other words, there are times when you say the right thing. Now you got to keep saying it. You're going to hold fast. Listen, this compares. We can actually, this goes into the parable. So this is the hundredfold ground, actually. This is a big part of it. You got to be able to hold fast. If you're not holding fast to your confession, you're not going to be a hundredfold return. You're not going to get a hundredfold return on the word. Come on. Now, so there is a progression here. You make the right confession and you continue and you continue and you continue. You hold fast. In other words, you're going to buckle up. Buckle up. What do you do in the airplane when the airplane hits that turbulence? What does it do? That light comes on. Fasten your seatbelt. Things are getting rough here. Hang. In other words, they're telling you, and the captain didn't even go. Now, I've never been in that situation, but I've seen it on TV. They'll go on intercom. They say, well, buckle up. We've got some heavy turbulence here. You're going to buckle up. Why? To keep you in position. To keep you in your seat. Spiritually speaking, buckle up. Why? To keep you in position. You're not going this way or that way. You're going, well, I hit my head over here. Why? You got to buckle up. Hold fast. Don't you waver. Don't get off the word. I don't care what it looks like. You hold fast to the word of God. Now see, if it was easy, we'd all be doing it. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe I'm speaking to the A team here. I really do. But the next phase we're going to talk about gets even rougher than this. Once you get illumination of the Word of God, or in other words, you could say, you get a revelation of the Word of God, you better buckle up. Now, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you keep your eyes fixed on Him, you'll make it through it. I mean, but the enemy will try you. He will challenge your faith. So don't think it strange, as James said. Don't think it strange. You have all these hardships and these trials. That's just part of the package. Persecution, that's part of the package. Tribulation, you're going to get it. Buckle up. Don't be surprised. You just say, well, that's just the word. That's the enemy. You just keep trucking. You just keep trucking with the word in your mouth. Why is that so important? Well, we can go on a list of things, but first of all, it's you're renewing your mind. Every time you quote the word, you're renewing this mind, and faith cometh by hearing. You just keep talking. You just keep talking. You're doing things in the spirit realm, and a lot of times you don't see it. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, I mean, in a natural eye, nothing happened. The tree's still there. He answered back to the fig tree. And went on about his business. He didn't camp out there to see what's going on. He didn't tell Peter to stick, you know, Peter, you stay behind to see what happens to that tree. No, he made his confession. What's his confession? He only said what the Father said. Jesus, when he spoke to that fig tree, I tell you right now, those were not random words. They came by Spirit. They came by the Father through the Holy Spirit. We have the written word. It is written. You need to stick with it. Hallelujah. It'll take you through it right on. Let's go to the next phase. Turn with me to, let's see. Chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Verse 20. 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. Are you there? Yes. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us hold fast the confession of, now listen to this, of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is what? Faithful. So now we see, once again, the third time. Say third time.
Third time.
That's the charm, third time. As soon as he talks about high priest, he goes right on into what? Confession. Words. What are you saying? But now, in this case, things are heating up. He adds the word hope. And he adds the word wavering. Let's just look at the word hope. Of course, hope is a confident expectation of good. We all know that. But I kind of like this word hope. It's, there again, let's just look at this again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hope. A confident expectation of good. Hope. When you see, now this hope is not wishing. This hope is not just a natural hope. This is Bible hope. This is living hope. This is the God kind of hope. When you see this hope, you will always find faith. Faith and hope, if they're working, must be coupled together. So when I see this hope, he says, hold fast to your confession of hope. It's telling me that faith is there also. What's faith doing? Faith is giving substance to the things hoped for. Hope is what? Hope's that thermostat, right? It's future tense. You're not there yet. What are you supposed to do? You walk by faith. And as you take those steps, as your mouth is filled with the Word of God speaking, you're holding fast to the dream. You're speaking the dream. What's the dream? That's your hope. You have an expectancy. You should have hope. If hope is an expectancy, you ought to be a joy about yourself. If you don't have that joy, you need to check up on your hope. Hope brings joy. Because you have an expectancy of good. I got something good coming. Why? Because you're walking by faith. Faith's going to cause it to come. Faith giving substance to it. You keep walking, and you're going to have a performance. God will perform it. Not you. I said not you. Other words, when you release God's word to your high priest, he takes the responsibility to bring those things to pass, not you. People get in trouble setting dates. You just walk with faith. You keep that switch on, and you keep walking with the attitude. Faith has an attitude. Come on. It's a bulldog attitude. It just keeps walking. I don't care what's in front. I just keep walking. My focus is on him. My attention's on him. The enemy, he wants your attention too. He wants to get you off the faith trail. You're following the good shepherd by faith. And the enemy wants you to go on another trail. Well, how does he get you going on another trail? By getting you to speak what he's saying. We don't want to activate his ministry. We activate our high priest by saying what he says. No matter what we're looking at, what's happening. Look at the word waver. Without wavering. Aha. This is not the same wavering as James talked about. I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. This is the only place you will find, from my knowledge, from what I found out yesterday. My knowledge is kind of limited. but this wavering actually means to be, without wavering, means to be in an upright position without leaning to this direction or to that direction. In other words, to be unmovable, to be upright, on focus, with your attention on him. The Bible talks about don't lean unto your own understanding. That'll get you in trouble. That is a big issue. Proverbs 3:5, don't do it. Don't lean into your own reasoning. You're reasoning yourself right on off the promise. Don't do it. When things don't line up, when the reasoning, your reasoning faculty says, well, I just don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't, forget that. There's some things you're not going to figure out. You just stick with the Word. God's faithful. Is that what He says? He's faithful to keep His promise. He's a faithful God. You keep your eyes on Him. He'll bring it to pass for you. I got this written down. It's really good. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. Of course, we all know this, but I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Jeremiah 1:12, it says, I am alert, active, and watching over my word to perform it. He's watching over. So we activate Jesus' ministry. God is actually watching over that word to do what? To perform. Wow. See, you got to remember, he's exalted his word even above his name. The ultimate pleasure that you can give God is to take him at his word. You cannot surpass that. Gifts of the Spirit, no. They have their place, right? They have their place. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But you cannot succeed to go in a higher place in God, in faith, just then other than trusting in his word. I probably didn't say that right. Trusting in his word, what he said. He takes pleasure. When you just believe him and only Him. And you have confidence in Him, and you just trust Him, and you start giving Him praise, you can't top it. That's fully pleasing unto Him. You want to be pleasing to God? Trust Him. He's faithful to His Word. Now turn with me. Let's look at one. I think we'll just go one more scripture. Let's go. We got to talk about Abraham. Romans chapter 4. Let's try that. Abraham chapter 4. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. We'll start with verse 18. Are you there yet? Who against hope believed in hope? Again, the first hope, against hope, he's talking about natural hope. Abraham was in a position of, there was no natural hope left, right? I mean, he was in a place, there was no natural hope. The guy was 99 years old, wife 90. I mean, there's no natural way here. But God's got him right where he wanted him. Because there is no way. There's no God. A lot of times, God will let you do your thing. God allowed Abraham to do his thing. He had his Ishmael. God had Abraham. Abraham ran his course to the point where God finally said, "Now you're going to have to believe." He's at the age of 100 or 99. And now God revisits him, the promise, and God changes his name to Abraham. Huh? Sounds like God wants a confession. That's the reason why he did it, a confession, to get him to say the promise. Once he does that, let's go ahead and read. I'm jumping ahead. Romans. Of course, you're not going to find Abraham chapter 4. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider, there we go, that word consider. In other words, he didn't focus on his body. So if he wasn't focusing on his body, what's he focusing on? Aha! His own body, already dead since he was 100 years old, in the deathness or barrenness of Sarah's womb, he did not, what? Waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Now that little phrase, strengthened in faith, does not mean all at once. It's a process. What we're talking about, what I'm talking about tonight or today, is a process. Little by little by little, you make the right confession, you hold fast without wavering. You hold fast without wavering. What's Abraham going to have to do? He's going to hold fast to that his name. Listen. When first time he spoke his name, Abraham, which God, you know, God told him to change his name to Abraham, right? So I can imagine when Abram first said Abraham, he's probably saying, "This is a little strange." The Bible really doesn't give us any indication, but a lot of times when you first make that right confession, it may seem a little mechanical. Well, I don't know. It just seems so mechanical. It's where you start. It may seem mechanical. You keep saying it until it drops. Eventually, why? Because faith cometh by hearing. So what does Abraham do? He doesn't change his name back to Abram after he makes his first confession. He keeps it. What's he doing? He's holding fast until what? Manifestation. But notice here, he said he's strengthened in faith, giving glory. Giving glory to God. Other words, He's locked in. His confession is right, and he's giving glory to God. Now, just the fact that you're confessing the word gives God glory. So when Abraham is confessing his name, his new name, that's giving God glory. But then there's praise that goes along with it. Lord told me this. He said, if you will add praise, I mean radical praise, between the amen and there it is, you can shorten that time. I said, God said to me, if you can add praise, and I'm not talking just, well, I praise you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. I'm not talking about that kind of praise. I'm talking about a loud praise. I'm talking about radicalness. I'm talking about you're getting up and you're giving God praise all the time. You're thanking Him. Because why? Because you have an expectancy. You know what's coming. Because your faith switches on. Hope's out in front of you. Faith is giving substance to it. There's a joy about you. So why not give praise? Shouldn't you give praise? That's what Abraham's doing. He is our example. He's giving praise, giving God the glory before the manifestation. You mean we can do that? You're supposed to do that. What are you saying? I'm saying it's a lifestyle. Abraham didn't keep count. Let's see, I've said my name three times. I don't see nothing. Maybe it takes five, six, nothing. It's not about that. It has nothing to do with it. It's about saying what he says and just keep saying it. That's faith, faith. Faith cometh. The more you say it, the stronger it gets. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You keep saying it and saying it. And the Bible said he was strengthened. As you keep saying it, you're strengthened little by little by little. Well, I just want the whole thing. Well, it usually don't work that way. Is this not the word? Abraham is our example, and he was strengthened in his faith by giving glory to God, and it came little by little by little. Now, once he made it his lifestyle, things happened. All those years, 24 years, no Isaac. He got an Ishmael, but no Isaac. But once he got locked in on God's confession, things happened. Things happened. In other words, you can shorten that time. Especially when it comes to healing. Shorten it. Shorten it. Because it's just between you and God. Finances is another story because usually it's other people involved. But healing, man, you can shorten it. That's why sometimes praise is a sacrifice because your body doesn't want to do it. Sometimes. I'm not saying all the time, but the flesh doesn't really sometimes want to do that. Amen? It's like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm just going to close. Like the woman with the issue of blood, what did she do? She just kept saying, if I may just touch his clothes, the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She just kept saying it. Now, that happened bang, bang. That lady was in dire need of healing. Well, I'm just waiting for Jesus, you know, to come by. Well, actually, he's in you. You don't need him to come by. The Spirit of Christ is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't need him. He's in you. Right? Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.